It is September 29th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The World Federation of Exchanges 61st Annual General Meeting concluded today. It is September 29th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The World Federation of Exchanges 61st Annual General Meeting concluded today in Malta after a session on ESG. The big announcement at the end was the next annual general meeting will be held in September 2023 in Bermuda. The WFE showed an enticing video of Bermuda to attract attendees. My first reaction was, I want to go. However, on second thought, I was like, isn't September right in the middle of hurricane season for Bermuda? Maybe there was a reason the prices were so competitive for the hotel. Well, only time will tell. Bermuda is beautiful, but maybe take out the flight insurance with this trip. Remember those $1.8 billion fines yesterday? Well, the FIA is holding a webinar about new frontiers in record keeping and compliance to address the issues about the use of personal phones for business and the enforcement implications. The webinar is on October 13th, 2022 from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Register with the link in today's newsletter. Rostam Benham, the chairman of the CFTC, is making price predictions for Bitcoin based on its potential regulation by the CFTC. Evidently, he believes Bitcoin would double in price if the CFTC were to regulate the cryptocurrency, according to a CoinDesk story. Incubex reported on LinkedIn that environmental markets on Nodal top $1 billion notional open interest in environmental products offered on Nodal Exchange topped $1 billion in notional value yesterday. John Tornator is starting a new position as head of business development at Promethium. John was most recently at the Small Exchange, which has had some changes since it was bought by Crypto.com. John was the chief commercial officer at the Small Exchange. Jason Grandiano is starting a new position as U.S. Head Technology Investment Banking at RBC Capital Markets. Veteran television journalist Bill Plant has died at the age of 84. Plant was CBS News' man at the White House, according to the New York Times, who covered four presidencies during a 52-year career. Coming October 12, 2022 at 11 a.m., a derivatives deep dive with Michael Izacki, Vice President Strategy at Cboe Global Markets. It is September 29th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The World Federation of Exchanges 61st Annual General Meeting concluded today in Malta after a session on ESG. The big announcement at the end was the next annual general meeting will be held in September 2023 in Bermuda. The WFE showed an enticing video of Bermuda to attract attendees. My first reaction was, I want to go. However, on second thought, I was like, isn't September right in the middle of hurricane season for Bermuda? Maybe there was a reason the prices were so competitive for the hotel. Well, only time will tell. Bermuda is beautiful, but maybe take out the flight insurance with this trip. Remember those $1.8 billion fines yesterday? Well, the FIA is holding a webinar about new frontiers in record keeping and compliance to address the issues about the use of personal phones for business and the enforcement implications. The webinar is on October 13th, 2022 from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Register with the link in today's newsletter. Rostam Benham, the chairman of the CFTC, is making price predictions for Bitcoin based on its potential regulation by the CFTC. Evidently, he believes Bitcoin would double in price if the CFTC were to regulate the cryptocurrency, according to a CoinDesk story. Incubex reported on LinkedIn that environmental markets on Nodal top $1 billion notional open interest in environmental products offered on Nodal Exchange topped $1 billion in notional value yesterday. John Tornator is starting a new position as head of business development at Promethium. John was most recently at the Small Exchange, which has had some changes since it was bought by Crypto.com. John was the chief commercial officer at the Small Exchange. Jason Garandiano is starting a new position as U.S. Head Technology Investment Banking at RBC Capital Markets. Veteran television journalist Bill Plant has died at the age of 84. Plant was CBS News' man at the White House, according to the New York Times, who covered four presidencies during a 52-year career. Coming October 12, 2022 at 11 a.m., a derivatives deep dive with Michael Izacki, Vice President Strategy at Cboe Global Markets. Izacki is a senior leader in Cboe's derivative strategy group. It's part of an ongoing series on derivatives at the Options Institute at Cboe. You can learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our Markets Wiki Education short of the day, J.J. Kinahan seeking opportunity elsewhere in the market. In this video from Markets Wiki Education's World of Opportunity event in New York, J.J. Kinahan, then the managing director and chief market strategist at TD Ameritrade, talks about seizing opportunity in every corner of the markets. Kinahan grew up in a large Irish-American family and figured he would become a carpenter or an electrician. Instead, he landed a job at the Cboe one summer and never looked back. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Florida wakes to disaster as Ian continues to dump flooding rain, more than 2.5 million without power amid flooding and winds. Ian was one of the most powerful storms to hit the U.S. Ian was downgraded to a tropical storm with winds of 65 miles an hour as it swept northeast into central Florida, leaving 2.5 million homes and businesses without power amid downed trees and inundated roadways from one of the costliest and most powerful hurricanes in U.S. history. The storm, which dumped as much as a foot of rain onto some cities, was continuing to batter the state Thursday with a high risk of flash flooding before moving into the Atlantic Ocean and from there into Georgia and the Carolinas. My comment, this storm, they say, will change the face of Florida. I am guessing Mickey is out. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Yellen says markets functioning well, conditions not disorderly. Treasury chief says officials will continue to monitor markets. Yellen says tighter conditions part of addressing inflation. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said that financial markets are functioning well after a tumble in equities and treasuries and a surge in the dollar unsettled investors. We haven't seen liquidity problems develop in markets. We're not seeing, to the best of my knowledge, the kind of deleveraging that would signify some financial stability risk, Yellen said in answering reporters' questions Tuesday on a trip to North Carolina. My comment, all is well, all is well. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. Liz Truss vows to stick to tax-cutting plans despite market turmoil. UK Prime Minister breaks silence as gilt sell-off resumes. Liz Truss has vowed to stick to her tax-cutting plans, breaking her silence on the market tumult that followed her government's fiscal policy announcement last Friday. In a series of interviews on local radio stations, the UK Prime Minister insisted she would not change course on the economy, saying lower taxes were vital to stave off a recession. But a sell-off in sterling and government bonds resumed as she spoke. My comment, all is not well, but I don't care. Here is another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, lessons from the UK pension fund shock. In finance, there is nothing quite so dangerous as a supposedly safe strategy. What a wild week. The turmoil in UK markets escalated far beyond what anybody could have expected, even after the government revealed a remarkably ill-judged mini-budget last Friday. Stepping back to behold the detritus, some things are becoming clearer. Some of the scale of the recent UK government bond market collapse is explained by a doom loop triggered by pension fund gilt selling. This escalated calls on funds to post collateral on derivative trades struck, ironically, to hedge their liabilities, in turn triggered more selling. However, the answers to many questions remain murky. My comment, this was supposed to work. I don't understand. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, banks accuse consumer regulator of abuse of power. Since George Floyd's murder by the police in 2020 refocused public attention on racism in the United States, regulators, including those appointed by President Biden to oversee financial institutions, have vowed to prioritize the task of rooting out discrimination. But banks are now accusing one of them of going too far. On Wednesday, a powerful alliance of bank trade groups sued the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and its director, Rohit Chopra, in federal court in Texas, claiming Mr. Chopra is abusing his power by forcing the banks to submit regular tests of how their treatment of customers may inadvertently disadvantage certain groups, including racial minorities. The suit argues that the law Mr. Chopra is using to do so was devised only to ensure lenders are treating customers with transparency and fairness. My comment, we want you to treat customers with transparency and fairness, but not those customers. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Wall Street Journal's report, people don't save enough money for emergencies, but there are ways to fix that. Second was, CME Group has investment ideas for the masses about the exchange's new event contracts from the Chicago Sun-Times. Third was, crypto exchange's FTX is moving its U.S. headquarters from Chicago to Miami from CoinDesk. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is a story from Bloomberg. The headline, the UK's crisis of confidence was years in the making. The UK thought it had the trust of the markets until it didn't. Now homeowners and businesses will likely have to pay the price. Britain is in a self-inflicted financial crisis, years in the making, that threatens to accelerate the economy's dive into recession, and the country's new prime minister is coming under intense pressure to blink. in the week since the government unveiled the biggest tax cuts since 1972, with scant detail of how they would be financed, the pound has crashed to its lowest ever level against the dollar. The cost of insuring British government debt against the risk of default has soared to the highest level since 2016, and the Bank of England has been forced to intervene amid concerns about the nation's pension funds. Here's another story from Bloomberg News. China's race to avoid Wall Street ban is off to a tense start. The latest high-stakes drama between the world's biggest superpowers is unfolding in the unlikeliest of places, a Hong Kong office tower full of accountants. It's here on the 23rd floor of Prince's building in central Hong Kong, where number crunchers and regulators will determine the fate of hundreds of billions of dollars in U.S.-listed Chinese shares and possibly the future of financial cooperation between Washington and Beijing. The next story is from the New York Times. The headline, Pound Swoon Echoes Decline in British Power, Past and Present. The Bank of England had to step in Wednesday after markets deemed a new government economic plan unwise, but the pound has been on a longer slide. Britain's pound coin, rimmed in nickel and brass with an embossed image of Queen Elizabeth II at the center, could always be counted on to be significantly more valuable than the dollar. Such boasting rights effectively came to an end this week when the value of the pound sank to its lowest recorded level. £1 is equal to $1.03 after falling more than 20% this year. The nearly one-to-one parity between the currencies sounded the close of a chapter in Britain's history, nearly as much as the metronomic footfalls of the procession that carried the Queen's funeral bier up the pavement to Windsor Castle. The Queen's death, for many people, brought to an end a long era of which the soft power in the United Kingdom was paramount, said Ian Golden, professor of globalization and development at the University of Oxford. The pound's demise to its lowest level is sort of indicative of this broader decline in multiple dimensions. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.